Welcome to the Triple H podcast, your Miami Heat podcast on Hot Hot Hoops. I am your host, Haley Burns. And guys, I'm going to meet you at the rim because I am tough like Hassan Whiteside. He has put it out there today to LeBron James that he will meet him at the rim tonight, meaning that he will be blocking any shots that LeBron tries to dunk. Ernest Christian and David Rommel are with me. How are you both feeling about tonight's? It's not really even an anticipated matchup anymore because of no Wade, obviously. But David, yeah. How's it going?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm kind of ready to go to the beach. So I'm like, yeah, let's do an early one. And then that's where I'm headed straight away because it is outstanding weather here today in Miami. Not to brag, but it is. It's beautiful.
Hey, brag all you want, man. We're all in the same area, and we love the weather. I try not to rub in too much my friends up north, but
yeah,
it is what it is, man.
But it's beautiful. And I try not to say anything like over social media, but I want to share like the beauty of it. But then people just think you're an asshole. Right. So, in an American accent, an asshole. So I don't really want
to arsehole. Yeah.
Yeah, be doing that. But yeah, let's talk about basketball.
Yeah.
All right.
Whiteside has put out the challenge. Have you guys had it literally just happened before we started recording this, but did you see the comments from LeBron James?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He responded back.
I've got it here, actually. I'll read it to anyone the listeners. So bring you guys up to speed. Basically the other day, obviously the media asked Hassan how he would, defend LeBron tonight in Cleveland. And so Hassan, I'm sure it was a throwaway comment, but he said, I'll just meet him at the rim. Sorry, the actual quote was, LeBron's a good player. I've never really played too much against him. I'm not guarding him. Somebody else is pretty much guarding him. I just meet him at the rim. Like, it really was like a nothing. I'm sure he was just saying, this is my position. But then obviously, as you do, got back to LeBron. Someone asked him about it and he was complimentary. He said, on with Hassan Whiteside, he's huge, very long, athletic, full stop, but just a big guy. And he has a really good touch as well. And then he said, I'm happy for the kid. Even though he thinks I'm just a good player, I'm happy for him. And, he was just like, whatever, kid. And then so someone told Hassan what LeBron said, and Hassan got really upset and said, you all blew it. You all blew that way up out of proportion. He said, of LeBron's reference and the fact that people went straight back to LeBron. Obviously, this is welcome to 2015 and, being a starting NBA player, Hassan Whiteside, this is life that you're, he was only saying a month ago, no one ever came and talked to me from the media. And now he's going to, wish that never happened. But, and then he said, but man, I don't even know what to say. I don't got nothing to say. And then he continued on for about four times saying, I don't got nothing to say. So yeah, before asking the PR guys, can I please stop doing this?
It's like kindergarten BS. Like, it's like they're not talking to each other, but it's a messenger going back and forth. Like, really?
It's high school.
Like, come on.
But it's fun and it gives us stuff to write about.
We are in a Deadspin era. This is the Deadspin era where anything you say, any little bit of information you give out, that's news.
Well, I mean, there's something to it, though, right? I mean, it's not. I mean, I think from LeBron's perspective, he wanted to mitigate it as much as possible, and I don't think he was really all that concerned about it. But he's gonna, if he has the opportunity to actually go up against Whiteside at the rim, he's gonna flush it down in his face to make a point. Because he's got something to prove, right? I mean, so
it's fun. We've got a storyline for tonight. It's something where people would tune in and they'll look for now.
Well, yeah. But not even that. Just like as a player, he needs a little extra motivation. I mean, that's the reality. These guys are always looking for, slights, either perceived or real, to motivate them. And I think that's just one more thing for him to fuel him tonight. Again, he's gonna go down. He's gonna go at the rim with a little bit extra more motivation, a little bit more athleticism, whatever. And we're talking about one of the best players in the world, so. There is something to it. And then from the Whiteside perspective, I mentioned this, I think, in our last podcast. I mean, there are just some things about him personality-wise that concern me. And I think – I know they've overstated already and they've gone into great detail how his attitude was a problem when he was first selected a few years ago. I still think those issues are there. And as much as we want to crown him as the savior of the franchise, this is a guy who doesn't – to me, anyway, doesn't appear to have it all together. Maybe I'm blowing it out of proportion, and I really love what he's brought. I think he has an ego problem. I really do think he has an ego problem.
Probably does.
I know,
he probably does, but I mean, I mean, he's maturing before our very eyes. You know, I mean, all these things that we heard about him before, you know, we had this in Miami with him is it's true, obviously. I mean, you can't be a 7-footer and bounce around the league without having issues attached to you beyond just the basketball issues. Obviously, there was an attitude problem. You've seen a little bit here, you know, but you know, I let it slide. I mean, he's in an organization now that's going to teach him to be professional, teach him to say the right things. And, you know, I have no problem with those comments, personally, to be honest with you. I have no problem with it whatsoever.
But, I mean, you're saying – sorry to interrupt there. But you're saying that, you know, you don't have a problem with his comments or that the franchise is going to coach him up, so to speak. But isn't this the same kind of issue that Derrick Rose has to deal with in Chicago, that he's not a very polished speaker? It's dogged him for years. It continues to do so. He keeps getting into trouble. And we're starting to see some of those same things from Whiteside. And this is with, you know, the cameras being on him for the very first time in his career. So now all of a sudden –
this is also why I'm a big advocate of in all sports of I don't like too much access to athletes. I don't like that it's mandatory that people have to talk all the time. That I don't like, you know, because if he doesn't talk, then he's getting fined. So it's the same in the NFL, too. I can't stand it. And
that's kind of what we do, though. I mean, that's kind of what we do for, you know, this is what we're, you know, our career, so to speak. So, I mean, I hope that we continue to have that access and even more so. But, I mean, I understand your point, but, you know, they're people. And, I mean, okay, at the end of the day, I'm not going to – my life isn't going to depend on what Whiteside says about LeBron or not. But, I mean, I am curious to hear his opinion of it. It's not going to change my life in any way, you know, shape or form. That's the thing, though. It's not the access that's a problem.
Let me ask you this, though. If he had said something different, would you like that? I mean, do you want your guy to be more of a confident guy or a guy who just comes off as, you know, aloof, if you will, about the whole situation?
I like it to be a little bit more polished in the sense that he – doesn't create any controversy. I don't like bullshit controversy being started out of anything, you know. And I think this is another case of that. It's like, you know, Westbrook's comments a few weeks ago, Marshawn Lynch's comments during the Super Bowl, all this kind of, it's ridiculous. We're blowing things up out of proportion. Again, this is a guy who's just, you know, whatever he said isn't that big a deal. Although, to me, again, it's an indicator that he maybe has a bit of an ego problem. And I just don't want that to be the case because I don't want him to get so big for his britches that he forgets that, you know, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, he was playing at the YMCA in North Carolina. You know,
I don't think it's an ego problem. I think he's just like he's doing well and he's experienced all the media stuff. And then suddenly, like, something he kind of said was just put into, like, obviously taken out of context and put into, like, one quote and then is told – so like the best player in the world. So now he's like, I think he's probably just a little bit upset and feels like a little bit maybe even turned on that his Heat media or whatnot have, you know, been writing all these great things about him. Then they've kind of said, oh, you know what, LeBron thinks, you know, that's funny. Yeah. So he's probably a bit embarrassed. You know, I'm sure he just didn't really, this would have been the first time he's probably had to deal with that.
Yeah, I think what my point is, I don't want to feel like we're penalizing him for being honest either. I mean, there's a fine line between being honest and being cocky. And like I said, when Haley put up the comments, I mean, to me, it came off, it was dressed as, you know, just a comment, like a regular comment. It didn't come off as cocky. It just came off as somebody, you know, who was ready to play basketball on Wednesday night. That's all.
Come on. I mean, seriously, though, I mean, you're going to call LeBron James just a good player? I mean, seriously? I mean, anybody who's got a basketball in their hand.
Well, I mean, it could have been random. I mean, I mean, maybe she should have worshipped the altar. I guess I don't know. No.
You see, but that's going too far. Look, you know, it's one thing to be condescending and saying, you know, he's just a good player, and I know maybe he didn't intend for that to sound, but to sound as condescending as it did. But you know, you could say he's a very good player, a great player, not necessarily worshiping at his altar, because again, that's going too far. But to sound condescending, like you don't know who the heck LeBron James is, come on. Give me a break.
Hey, Dave, maybe he's PO'd now at the way things were handled last summer because maybe he has some more insight from Riley and the guys about what happened. Maybe he's just PO'd about it. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe he's bought into Heat life or I don't know.
LeBron, in fact, it turns out he was a good player for the Heat because the Heat have now had more losses, 29 losses more than four whole seasons with LeBron.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not even, what are we? We're halfway through. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, those don't deny LeBron's effect on this franchise. But I think, you know, honestly, like, these comments to me tell you that the doors have been shut on the LeBron era in terms of like just the perception now of this fan base. Because like I feel like after Christmas, like to me, it was shut. Like there was no more talk about the past.
It was a nice closure.
We're now invested. We're now invested into this team this year and the future of this franchise moving forward. And I think this banter between these two guys is showing that very clearly.
Yeah, it's fun. Obviously the national TV game tonight, so. It's exciting, and we know how the last one went against them. That was wonderful, but obviously there's no Wade tonight. Who else is missing? There's no Ennis. Sean right. Williams also not traveling with the team. He's still got a hip problem. Welcome to the world, Tyler Johnson.
he's been great,
America,
though.
This is what you've been missing.
Hey, don't knock him. I mean, I know it's
I'm not
easy.
Knocking him, no. He's, no.
Dave, you like him, don't you? You're a big fan of Tyler Johnson. You've been commenting a couple of times about his hustle and his work ethic.
There you go, Dave. Why don't you tell people about what are we calling him? Let's call him TJ. Yeah, let's do it.
I think he's been a nice addition. Like, I don't think he's the solution at shooting guard, but it's a nice boost considering the lack of production that we've gone out of, you know, the backcourt, especially in Wade's absence. It's nice to have a guy off the bench who can, you know, get to the free throw line, who can shoot from outside, who can explode at the rim. He does a little bit of everything, and, you know, he's still a little bit of a liability because I think he's going to be pushed around a lot by more athletic two guards and even at point guards, but I think he's got some potential. I don't know if he's going to be a long-term solution at two guard. I'd still ideally like to see Miami try and acquire somebody via trade, but that's a whole other story. As far as Tyler Johnson is concerned, I like him. You know, I think, you know, I like anybody who gives 110%. You know, I mean, that sounds really cliche, but to see him kind of struggle through the early part of the season, you know, do his work in the D League and then get an opportunity, I think a lot of fans like that, and I'm one of them.
Yeah, well, Wade, tonight will be Wade's seventh game out in a row. And obviously when Wade comes back in, Johnson will perhaps be slotted back to D-League. But you just touched on there, I'll try and do two birds with one stone here. You just touched on there about, you know, the trade, possible trade, what we could get, you know, if perhaps we did go down that route with someone. Let's talk about Birdman. Should we try to trade him or should we be keeping hold of him? The trade deadline is up under a week now. So the 19th, February 19th is all over. Can't do any more. We're going to be stuck with who we've got. What do you guys think right now moving forward?
That depends on the needs of this team. And I mean, the one guy I was coveting for weeks, I think David and I off the record talked about this the last couple of weeks, was Gary Neal. But he got traded yesterday to was it Minnesota?
Yeah.
So that's a guy that could have really helped. Spell Wade and as a shooter on top of that too. So unless there's a guy out there that's really going to help this team with their major needs, I don't see any purpose of training Birdman. I mean, Birdman's just actually played pretty well. He's actually with Whiteside too, especially being, you know, in the mix now. It's giving Birdman back that backup center role where he can be that energy guy again that he was the last couple of years, even when LeBron was here, and he's been doing that. So I don't see a purpose to really train Birdman. We now have a big man in pretty much in the game at all times now, which now once again allows
Chris Bosh to do his thing.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think his value is at an all-time high. But at the same time, he fits better to what Miami's got going on now with Whiteside starting. I think we have a much more traditional lineup, obviously, by need, because, you know, it's no longer the big three era. We can't play small ball anymore. And we've got Chris Bosh thriving at his natural power forward position. So I think, you know, I think from an emotional standpoint, you want to say that Birdman's a big part of that, you know, great 27 win streak from a few years ago. He was part of those championship teams. You don't want to get rid of a guy like that.
That streak made me buy a ticket here.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was one of the most exciting things in Heat history and certainly in NBA history. Second longest streak all time, et cetera.
Can't we just reminisce? Can't we just talk about the good old days?
No. I think that's another thing, though. It's like the misery, or let's not say misery. The struggles of this season, I think, have erased the whole memory of the Big Three era somewhat. And I think you used the perfect word before when you said closure. I think being able to beat LeBron James and the Cavaliers on Christmas Day, that was the most anticipated matchup, and we won that one. Yeah, without Chris Bosh, exactly. Very good point. So I think
forgot that.
And Whiteside played.
So tonight we'll obviously beat Bosh, and I'm going to talk about that soon. But yeah, Bosh on LeBron, I completely forgot.
And even Whiteside, he only played 8 minutes, and he went scoreless in that. I mean, that's just how far we've come since then. And so I think you know, now we can move on. We don't have to worry about LeBron anymore. He's got his own issues to deal with. That team's doing well. And for us, I think it's just a more of a matter of just trying to get a win on any given night, you know. And I think we can still make some damage. We can make some noise in the playoffs should we get in. And right. I think fans are ready to move on now. And that's great because it shows, again, the difference and the superiority, if I will, between Miami fans and Cleveland fans that were so obsessed with LeBron James for years. I guess right. They got their boy back, and that's all that matters.
Can I add real quick also, too, that there's two things going on here. Obviously, the closure part you mentioned about, you know, from the era, but also there's now, at least on my part, and maybe you guys feel the same way as I do, but there's also an acceptance here now, too, in the fact that, you know, we're seeing two things here. You know, Riley wants to be relevant, wants to be a team that's competing for championships, or at least in the postseason.
I can't wait till that happens.
Yeah, but at the same time, we're also doing something that we haven't done in years. We're developing young talent now. The Ennis, yes. The Whitesides, the Johnsons, you know, all those guys. So we're doing something here where, yeah, we're still relevant. We're still trying to, you know, be a team that can be dangerous in the playoffs. But we're also trying to do things for the future. And I think we need to also understand that there's a two-part here going on with Miami Heat here, and hopefully that going forward that it could benefit beyond 2016.
Yes, very good point. I think that's, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's something that's been missing in Miami for years, even before the Big Three era. So right. I mean, that's a very good point to bring up.
Yeah.
One more thing, if I can, about the trade scenario.
That's what we're doing. We're sitting here talking.
I think one name that I'm really – in recent weeks, I think I've really, you know, gotten hot for this one, I think, is Aaron Aflalo. I think the Nuggets are sellers at this point. I think, obviously, they're not going to make the playoffs out in the West. You know, they've already initiated that trade with Timofey Mozgov, and he's thriving in Cleveland. But I think – Aflalo could be moved. I know recently we heard that they wanted a first-round pick, which seemed a little excessive for a guy like that. But at the same time, if there's any way that Miami could acquire,
tell us a bit more about him.
Aflalo, I mean, he started off
and can watch those Western games.
he's very good player. He started off at Denver, had some great years in Orlando, then got traded back there, and he's just a good athletic wing. He's a very solid defender. He can shoot from outside. He can still attack the rim. He's not as athletic or explosive as he once was, but he's an overall package. And I think you could put him at the three position if you want to spell Lou Alding for a bit. You can have him as a backup or starter to Dwayne Wade when he's out. I mean, he just provides a real good fit for what Miami is missing. You want to keep that trio of point guards that you currently have. Yeah, I mean, as unproductive as they are, at least that gives us an option at point guard. You know, you can go with a hot hand, if you will, whoever's playing best on a given night. Mm-hmm. But Aflalo gives you a quality backup at the two that we haven't had all season. You know, the Shannon Brown experiment failed. The Tyler Johnson one is promising, but not exactly a long-term solution. So you get a guy like Aflalo, a proven veteran. He needs a change of scenery. I think a guy like that is stuck in Denver, and it's just, you know, it's an exercise in futility on any night. You've seen the whole team kind of quit on head coach Brian Shaw out there. I think he's particularly done with it. In a recent game against the Thunder, he kind of walked to the sideline, and as Brian Shaw was trying to talk to him, he ignored him. So this is a guy who's just kind of done with that whole attitude. You know, he just wants to get the hell out of there. So why not come to the sunny shores of South Beach and help us compete for a playoff spot? You know, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Good point,
oh, by good the way, you know, and we mentioned the three-point guard situation here in Miami. Best believe that if, say, the Miami Heat were going to go after Aflalo, best believe somebody in that, you know, triad there is going to be packaged with them to go to Denver. So best believe that.
Yeah, I actually
– Who would you like to see gone?
Well, Cole. I played with him. Yeah, I think Cole is the obvious choice because of his contract, but also I think McRoberts is somebody you could get him straight up. I know they said recently they want a first round pick. If they don't get it by the trade deadline, they want to acquire an asset. McRoberts and Cole packaged together would be enough to get Aflalo, and that's not a bad fit over there. I mean, obviously Shaw is going to get fired, so who knows what kind of regime they're going to have next season. But this is a guy who's pretty versatile. You know, we never saw it here in Miami, but if you base what he can do based on what he did last year in Charlotte, he fits well over there. You know, you get a lot of teams that travel into Denver. It's an exhausting place to be in because of the whole altitude and everything else. And then you get a guy like McRoberts who brings intensity and can, you know, he can, you know, take you off guard because of his passing and his shooting if it's on point. So this is a guy guy who fits pretty well over there. I'd like to see that move. You know, I don't think it's a bad one for him necessarily. It's just unfortunate that it never worked out here in Miami, if in fact they wind up making a move like
that. The only positive of getting rid of McRoberts, though, really, for Miami is, you know, it takes off his money off the books 2016. Because remember, right. 2016, only him and Chris Bosh back on the books. So, but I personally would like to see McRoberts stay here another year, because I there were a lot of positives I saw when he started getting minutes before he got hurt again. Right. Early in the year, that there was a lot of positives there, and I feel like that we can use those positives next season, you know, moving forward. I don't know. Okay. Maybe I must be a little more prisoner of the moment here too with that. But
you're right though. But here's the thing though. The thing is that they brought him on here considering that he was going to be either a backup to LeBron James, which is one thing, or a starter and having Chris Bosh at the center position. Now that Whiteside's in place and hopefully will be there next year and beyond, he becomes somewhat less important to the whole makeup of the team.
Hopefully he provides can quality afford Whiteside.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's beyond 2016. Who knows what happened? Who knows? I mean, Dwayne Wade might retire at that point, and all of a sudden his salary comes off the books, and we might not need to re-sign him long-term after that.
Do you guys feel like Wade is someone who would retire when it's best for the team, or is going to be someone that will play till he's like 36? He's currently 33.
That's a good question. You know, it's funny. That's a great question, Haley, because I've actually...
Okay, let's go around the circle. I'll start. I feel like he will be someone that will go, you know what, I've had a really just ridiculous career. It's been amazing. I'm married. I have all these, you know, wonderful things that I can do and still be part of the game. I'm just going to walk away now at the end of 2000. I can't see him finishing the end of this season, but maybe the end of the next one.
Yeah.
And I think he'll kind of do that. I don't think he'll go down the Kobe route, the route of being injured all the time and, you know, letting the team down. I think he will free up the Heat when they want to do that 2016 free agency.
Right.
Okay, Dave, what do you think?
Well, I agree. You know, he's already taken a pay cut. I think he's happy here. He's made a bunch of money with his Chinese shoe deal. So I think this is a guy. I mean, and you know, unlike Kobe, who never had to go through a divorce and give up a big chunk of his earnings, Dwayne Wade did do that. And I hate bringing in his personal issues into it, but at the same time, you know, he lost some money in the divorce, you know, what have you. And so you figure this is a guy who's trying to get his, as they say, and make as much money as possible over the course of his, and he can still be a quality player even past 2016, I think. I don't think that's going to change. When he's out on the floor, he's still a 20 guy, 20 points per game kind of guy. So, But
do you want to, you know, I mean, obviously you take a pay cut, but do you want to commit a roster space and money to someone that is going to be out for, you know? How many games has he been out now this season? You know what I mean? Like 2 years old.
Yeah. I think he's missed like 15 or so, 15 I think or 20.
Someone, I think he's someone that would just go, you know what, you guys spend some money and get us back there.
We kind of see that with his whole, you know, the whole All-Star thing. He's like, look, you know what, I don't want to be a part of it anymore. I think it's better to get some of these younger guys in there, considering I've already had the experience a number of times. And, you know, his statement that he'd rather be in a Heat uniform before he's in an All-Star uniform because the Miami fans deserve it. I mean, this guy is I think he's older. He's tired. I think he's not ready to move on necessarily, but at the same time, he's done quite a bit. He's been to, you know, 5 finals appearances. I mean, this is a guy who's accomplished quite a bit in his career. I think he's seen as much as he can see, and I don't think there's any need for him to continue pushing himself past this, you know, past next season. So I think you're absolutely right in saying that he's probably a guy who's willing to make that move and retire peacefully and go quietly into that good night.
Unless he goes the Duncan route and takes less money again. But that's the thing, though. How much times do you see Wade taking less money for the sake of the franchise? You know, at some point, it's like, okay, I want to get what I want and get what I need. You know, that I'm old before I retire. I mean, that it's tough because, you know, with Wade, if Wade wasn't injured so much.
Yeah, I think it would be a different
story. Different conversation. I mean,
yeah. Sure.
Remember, it would be that Duncan conversation, perhaps.
You can argue right now when Wade's healthy, he's a top 15, 20 player in the league still.
Absolutely. I don't think anybody would argue that. I mean, I think he got the respect of the coaches in the Eastern Conference. I mean, they voted him in to the All-Star game. They didn't have to. As well as Atlanta's played and as everything, you know, everything that Kyle Korver does for that team, he's still a fairly limited player. He doesn't have the same impact on a night-to-night basis that Dwayne Wade does. Coaches still fear who that guy is. I don't think it was a legacy pick or anything like that. I think he was he's been a great player this season. I think he earned that honor. So
It wasn't for Justin Bieber's fans, he would have actually gotten the starter nod. But
I really thought he would have, because he's, you know, I kind of tweeted it the other day, but I thought he was kind of like hanging out and just, obviously I know he kind of like wouldn't put All-Star before the Heat, but at the same time I thought like he would have really loved to have been playing alongside James again, you know, the best friends. Yeah. I thought they were really looking forward to like kind of, yeah, we're going to do something, because this could, you know, I would kind of see like this was possibly going to be the last time we'd actually see them like play ball together, even if it is just an exhibition match. They would have had fun and done some really, you know, taken the fans, like overall basketball fans, not just Heat fans, back to those moments of those two combining and doing some fun stuff. So I was kind of obviously disappointed that he's not going to be part of it. But something else I kind of touch on is, not to go, I don't care, I'm going back to rumors. I don't care. This is what we talk about. But it's back to him and Bosch not being, you know, totally okay with each other and being, you know, friends. Like when Wade got married, the whole thing came out that Bosch saw LeBron at the wedding and they kind of like had a few words and blah, blah. And then, but then I noticed when the All-Stars were picked, LeBron did it. Yeah, my boys, you know, Wade and Irving and whatnot are going to be in All-Star weekend, but he never ever once said anything about playing alongside Bosch again. So I found that kind of interesting. And then so tonight will be kind of interesting, those two again.
You know, Haley, for years, even Miami, I used to ignore that. Like, you know, LeBron is always boys with Wade, and he never is close to Bosch, that kind of thing. I was like, it's no big deal. It's probably just whatever. I know him and Wade are close, but
yeah, and I didn't expect every teammates to be
There's obviously something to that. There's obviously
not everyone connects. I get that.
Right, you know, but that's all that. I mean, that's all it really is. Though, I mean, right? I mean, I don't think there's anything. I don't think there's any animosity between the two so much as there just was never a close friendship while they were here playing together. I mean, I think Bosch's personality.
I don't want to talk about something. No. Whatever.
What, you wanted to see that there was some hatred between the two?
I don't know. I just observe things and think, I don't like each other.
No, I don't. I mean, you know, Bosch is so much more, I would say, I'll go so far as to say he's much more cerebral than LeBron James. For all of his high basketball IQ and everything else, you know, I think Bosch is just a much more smarter person, much more smarter player. And I just don't think they got along very well in that. I mean, they don't have the same kind of range of interest.
Different.
Yeah.
You're right,
which
Jay.
Is, yeah. It's funny, though, because then you've got Ray Allen, who's supposedly very close friends, and James Jones, who's very close friends with them, and their families are going off on summer vacations. But those two guys, again, very cerebral guys. I mean, I would have thought if they get along well with LeBron James, I can't see why Chris Bosh didn't. But, you know, at the same time, you know, maybe there's just a different dynamic there. I don't know. I don't know. I'm curious because I think Chris Bosh is just, like, he's just not necessarily an introvert, but he's also, I don't know, he's so...
On the All-Star thing, it's, you know, Bosch is going to, you know, obviously tonight is against Kevin Love, which will be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he'll be looking forward to that matchup to kind of show LeBron what he's missing in Miami. I think, I mean, if you're going to see some competitive fire from Chris Bosh, and he's not always that kind of guy because, you know, it comes out very infrequently. He's not a real rah-rah kind of guy.
Let's have a quick talk about Bosh lately. What have we thought? We spoke the last time that Hassan has perhaps made his job a little bit easier, his and Wade's. How have we found his form lately?
Oh, I think he's been sensational. I mean, look, I think he's
gone under the radar lately. I think with just people complimenting him, like people just kind of have gone, you know, they don't choose to pay much attention to him as well.
Well, I mean, it's not the kind of dynamic, dominant performance like from a Dame Lillard or even a Kyrie Irving or LeBron James. He doesn't dominate the stat line that same way. But look, I mean, 32 points against the Knicks the other night, and I think the problem is that you see him, you know, shooting these shots from the perimeter, and you know, you don't realize that he's, you know, as explosive as he is. But I mean, he's still a really, really good player, really good, solid defender, pretty decent rebounder. I mean, I think he's just so much more perimeter-based at this point in his career, so he doesn't have the same kind of impact that you'd expect from somebody, you know, the way he did in Toronto or whatnot. But I mean, he's still a really great player. So if that's under the radar, you know what? I'll take it any day of the week.
Are you guys excited to see him at All-Star Weekend, or would you regret that he had a rest?
Bosh, right?
Bosh, yeah.
No, I'm excited to see him. Like I said, Chris Bosh is a guy – I always found Chris Bosh more interesting than the other two guys personally.
Oh, absolutely.
He's just an interesting guy. Like, to me, like, his off the court stuff, like, you know, he's into cooking and he's very candid. Like, Levitard even said a couple times too that out of all the guys in that Big Three era, that Chris Bosh was his favorite because, like, he was always the guy that seemed to be the most honest about things. And, you know, at some point you begin, especially in sports today, where everything is so generic and so, like, you know, polished, right, that, you know, you appreciate people like Chris Bosh, who was very just, he leaves all on the table. You know what I mean? And the comment about, like, you know, LeBron appreciating, you know, Bosh tonight, whatever, he better appreciate Bosh. I mean, he has two titles, you know, largely because of Chris Bosh too. So he was a large part of that. I mean, I know people, you know, always want to give Dwayne Wade and LeBron the credit, but there, you know, in that first OKC series, Chris Bosh averaged what? I believe 18 and 10, 18 and 11 in that series also. And right. But that goes unnoticed. No one pays attention to that though, because they choose not to. So I would think that LeBron appreciates what Bosh brought the last 4 years. I hope so.
Preach.
Yeah.
I think he's great. I think
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh no, I don't think there's any doubt about that, right? I mean, is that
Hall of Famer.
People have that argument. They say, I mean, I think outside of maybe South Florida, you know, I think a lot of fans probably, you know, they don't consider him being that kind of versatile impact player that he once was. I think they saw the contract this past summer and they said that Miami must be out of its mind and, you know, that it was a waste of money, et cetera. But I think we've seen over the last 4 years that even though it's quietly done, he's still a really, you know, he still has an incredible impact on the game, not just on offensively, but defensively as well. So I'd like to see him take advantage of Kevin Love and kind of show LeBron up there, you know, a little bit. Because, you know, obviously, I don't think Love is as strong as a defender. You know, I think he's not as bad as everybody says he is, but at the same time, he's not going to be able to contain Chris Bosh a lot. Right. So I'm curious to see how that matchup goes.
But it is so fitting, though. Remember those comments back in October or September about, you know, Bosh was asked about Love, and
he nailed it, right?
Well, yeah. Look at it now.
Take us back. I've forgotten. What did he say? I forgot.
About, like, you know,
LeBron's had to play with.
Right. Well, not just that, but that Kevin Love will have to adjust, that he's going to be, you know, of all the new big three in Cleveland, that Love would be the one who would have to take the biggest back seat. He was absolutely right on the money. He everything he said in that article, I think on Bleacher Report, nailed it perfectly. I mean, he kind of laid out exactly what Kevin Love was going to go through this year, and it's all fit into place. I mean, you look at the recent controversy, everything that's gone on, his numbers have dropped, etc. I mean, he knew it. He knew 100% what was going
to
happen.
Even while winning, too, this is happening. And the thing is, too, it's to the point where there's speculation about Love not being here next season.
Right.
So, kudos to Bosh.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Also weekend, blah, blah. Bosh will play Sunday night. Then the Heat the Heat obviously finish up to, when did we last play? Tonight. And then, so Bosh will play Sunday. Then he gets a lovely 4 days off. And then he'll come home. Because they're playing New York, Knicks. That will be the following Friday. And then, so who do we have? So we'll have Knicks. Maybe we'll get a win. Maybe we could, scrape into that sixth spot at one stage.
I think Whaley back. I think Whaley back by then. I think we'll have a full roster by next Friday. And I hope this should be a major. This should be a push here.
Then
I
don't think the Sixers. Sorry, I'm just looking. Yeah, keep talking.
Yeah. No, I don't think we'll get the sixth spot. I think Milwaukee has started to really firm themselves as number 16 in the Eastern Conference. I'll say it again. I think number 7 is where we're really focused on. And right now we're number 7 right now. I think we got a lot of breaks this past weekend with with Brooklyn and Charlotte losing. You know, it's funny, remember on Friday night, Saturday morning, we were actually on the outside looking in the playoffs, and within 72 hours we're back at number 7 again. So Yeah, I think Charlotte. I think Miami. I think the 7 seed is probably going to be realistic for Miami going forward. And I honestly believe that Cleveland Miami might be the first round series.
Yes,
that'd be so great.
It would.
I'd prefer the second, actually, the second round, if we could get that far.
Well, no,
it's
obviously
just so good. I'm not ready for it yet.
Can I be honest with you, Haley? Though, if Miami's healthy, as bad as this year has been for Miami, you know, in terms of the rebuilding and all this stuff. If Miami is fully healthy in April, they will be a very dangerous 7 seed. I'm telling you right now.
We just need Wade and Bosh healthy and playing together and get that consistency, because there's no creativity outside of Wade at the moment. It's just – I know. It's just we say the same thing week in and week out. If we can just get consistency just for once, like just not get injured. Yeah. Things would
just
be amazing.
Just a perspective real quick. The San Antonio Spurs are 17 in the West, too, to sort of record. I know it's a different...
Sorry, what was the last thing you said?
Huh?
Sorry, can you repeat the last bit you said?
No, I'm saying, this is a perspective. The San Antonio Spurs, the defending champions, are also the 7th seed in the Western Conference. This is a perspective.
Yeah, you just feel like they're coasting, though. You know what I mean? Like, you just think it's the whole Heat thing. It's like, they'll turn it up. They've got old guys. Like, why burn out? Why, you know?
Yeah.
Well, actually, Pop's not going to burn out those guys in February.
But there is some national perspective, though, that people think that Miami could still be the dangerous 17 in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, yeah, they can.
That's out there still.
They've just got to sort out those Kings. Yeah. What else do you want to talk about? Kind of want to go to the beach.
Are you going to the All-Star game?
I leave tomorrow. I'm bummed I've got no Wade stuff. I'm bummed I've got no Steven Adams. It's all falling apart. So hopefully Bosch plays well tonight and I can talk to him on Friday morning.
Excellent.
Yeah. Who are you most looking forward to interviewing? Are you going to have, you're going to have full access to all the players, right?
So, yeah.
Who are you most looking forward to talking with?
I'm not even going to try and go over to LeBron because he'll have 50,000 people there. I don't know. I haven't even looked at my... I'm going to go through my questions and work out my schedule and what I want to do tomorrow on the plane. I'll do it last minute.
I think Bosch was fun to talk to.
Yeah, well, like how you just said then that he's really candid. Like, we'll see. Hopefully he's in a good mood. And I'll try and come up with something interesting that... It's very hard to be original, so I'll try and do something fun. But it is. It's hard when they're asked the... When they ask the same thing. So I'll obviously go down my weird route of just weird stuff and make a really fun video and hopefully it all goes well.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're in good moods.
Well, I mean, you were familiar with Miami and South Florida, so maybe you can ask him a few of his favorite hot spots, et cetera, things that he likes to do in South Florida. I mean, he's so cultured outside of the arena, so it's great to have that kind of perspective there. So good luck to you.
Thanks. Yeah. Okay, guys. Well, let's talk soon. That was fun.
As always.
Okay, guys. So my name's Haley. That was Ernest Christian and David Ramil. Check out all their stuff on Hot Hot Hoops. Head to our site for all your latest news. Follow Hot Hot Hoops on Twitter, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Okay. Catch you. Bye.
Be good.
Bye.